Well, we're going to look at the Word of God this morning. And last week we were in Hebrews chapter 4 and talked about coming boldly before the throne of grace. We can come to God in prayer. We can come to Him. He hears us. He answers us. And I hope you've spent some time in prayer this past week. And that you have got in touch with God. And I trust that as we get into this busy time of year, this Christmas season as we call it, it is for most people one of the busiest times of the year, going to and fro. I mean, there's traffic everywhere. Folks are doing all kinds of things. And sometimes as we get into this busy time, we make choices that causes us to sometimes neglect what we should be doing for sometimes what we want to do. And I'm trying to emphasize this month some things that we should be doing, that we don't need to neglect, that we don't need to set aside, that we don't need to push to the side and forget about, or in a better sense of a word, neglect. As we looked at prayer last week, this week, I want to concentrate and look at and focus on the Word of God, what it does for us, how it speaks to us, what it can mean in your life and in my life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I want to draw your attention here as the Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Thessalonica, and he is establishing here several things. In verse number 14, he begins by saying, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." He says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from the appearance of evil." All right, now, just for a moment, Paul is exhorting here. He's saying these are some things that you need to do. So he goes through and he gives this list. And I want to read it for emphasis' sake because I want you to get this. And I want you to notice also, he's talking to Christians here. As he says, "Brethren, warn them that are unruly." Warn them that are unruly. "Comfort the feeble-minded." I'm so grateful for that one. I need comforting. He says, "Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man." Now hold on a second, real quick. He starts off by speaking to the brethren. But then when we get to verse number 15, he says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man." This one goes beyond the brethren. Amen? All right now. He says, "See that none render evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves," the brethren, "and to all men." Just in case you missed the first one, he reminds you again, it's all men. Then he says this, "Rejoice evermore." Woo, we're to rejoice all the time. He says, "We're to pray without ceasing." We talked last week much about this idea of prayer. The fact that, you know what? You can pray anywhere, right? Amen. We have a direct access to God. We said you can pray in the shower. You can pray in the car. You can pray amongst friends. You can pray by yourself. There is no place that you cannot go to the Lord in prayer. You can pray in your mind. God knows our thoughts. He says, "Pray without ceasing." We've spent much time in the month of November talking about giving thanks. He says, "In everything give thanks." Why? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." He says, "Quench not the spirit." Notice the capital S there. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And check this out. He says in verse number 23, he said, in the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. Notice this in verse number 23. Scott read it earlier. It said, and the very God of peace. Let me ask you a question real quick. How many of you want peace? Want peace in your life? Now, I hesitate to ask this question for fear of not everyone being able to raise their hands. So I want you to do it inside, not externally. Okay? So that means when I ask this question, don't raise your hand. Okay? I want you to answer here, not here. Most everyone raised their hand, from what I could tell, to said, I want peace. Now, how many of you have peace? How many of you truly have that peace here? I want to tell you, you can have. We all want it. We all want this peace. The Bible talks about the peace that passeth all understanding. That means even when there's no understanding available for why someone might have peace, we want peace. So how do we get this peace? Notice, as he says, in the very God of peace, sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you this morning that within your body, within your spirit, within your soul, within all three of those, you can have peace. You say, really? Really? I can have peace? Yes, you most certainly can. So how does that even happen? Well, I want you to flip over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. We were here last week in the 16th verse as the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We looked at that last week and we're going to go backwards in Hebrews chapter 4 this week as we consider the fact that we want peace. How do we get it? Well, in verse number 12, the Bible tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Catch this one more time. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Here's the title of the message this morning. It's a two-part title. The first part, want peace? Question mark. Second part, the answer, don't neglect the Word of God. Want peace? Yes, I want peace. Well, the answer we find is not neglecting the Word of God. Let's pray together as we explore this morning. Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your moving upon our lives. Your Holy Spirit coming inside of us and saving us and allowing us to be born again. Not of corruptible seed, but of that which is incorruptible. Father, it is through your word that we can even come to that saving knowledge. And Father, it is my prayer this morning that if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that can hear these words as they are preached this morning, that if they do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, God, may today be that day that they come to you. Help us through this. As we explore this morning, help us, for we need you. God, not only do we want your peace, but Father, we need it upon our lives. Help us through this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. As we look at Hebrews chapter 4, I compare that with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. God said through the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, your whole spirit, your whole body, your whole soul. Those three. So God is making a definitive separation there. How does he do that? He does it with the Word of God. I want to break down for Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 very quickly so we can get into the message this morning. Right off the bat, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, for the Word of God is. What is it? What is the Word of God? Is the Word of God important in our lives? What makes it important? What makes it special? Well, he starts off by saying, the Word of God is quick. Quick. Now, in our vernacular today, when we use this word quick, we typically will refer to something that is fast. It's not necessarily the usage of the word quick here in First Thessalonians. I'm stuck there in Hebrews chapter 4. The Word of God is quick. Now, I will tell you it can't apply because I don't know anything in my life that resonates with me quicker, faster than the Word of God. You want to get my attention in something? Tell me what the Bible says. Amen? We're not looking for our own opinions. We're not looking for this and that. But what is quick here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12? It means primarily something that is alive. Something that is alive. Something that is living, as opposed to something that is dead or something that is unanimated. You see, the Word of God is very much and very, very quickly, amen, it is alive. We find this word used in other passages where the Bible talks about how the Word of God makes or quickens you. It makes us alive. Do you realize that it takes something that has life to give life? Amen. That's how we know the Word of God is alive in our heart. It is alive. We know that the Word was made flesh. I mean, hey, we're coming up on Christmas time. We want to talk about how Jesus came. Well, Jesus was already alive. Amen. I love John chapter 1 as Jesus is described as the Word in heaven, how it was made flesh and dwelt among us. No other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word is alive. That's why it says it's quick. Hey, it says it's powerful. That means that word powerful there means literally something that is able to produce great effects. Let me ask you something. Has the Word of God affected your life? It certainly has mine. Why? Because it's quick. Because it's powerful. Look, we don't... When we talk about that word powerful, that's something that is changing, isn't it? I mean, look, we don't ever talk about, let's go to the animal kingdom for a moment. We don't talk about a powerful bunny, do we? Sure was a powerful bunny I saw the other day. If Randall saw it, it'd be a dead bunny. Am I right? Stewing it up. A rabbit stew. God. Sure was a powerful frog. Anybody ever seen a powerful frog? How about a lion? Well, we're going to talk about something that's powerful in the animal kingdom. lion's pretty powerful. How about the power of an elephant? Oh my goodness, they don't even know how powerful they are sometimes. They can move stuff. Hey, we're talking about the Word of God here. It can affect something. It can knock down doors. It knocked on your heart's door, did it not? Oh my goodness, it changed my life. Nothing else could. Nothing else could make the difference that the Word of God has. Why? Because it is quick, it's alive, it is breathing, and it's powerful. It affects, it makes that. Why? It says it's sharper. Oh, hold on now. We're getting to the purpose. We're talking about what the Word of God is. It's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's going to do something. It will make an effect if you let it. It's sharper. Ooh, what's sharper mean? It means to cut by a single stroke. That's the connotation here. One stroke is all it takes. Something that is keenly and severely penetrating. You realize the Word of God comes and is given to us. Hold on a second. To divide. You say, hold on. Pastor, I thought we were supposed to be all about unity. Let's everybody just come together. We'll hold hands. Unity. Wait a second. It says it's sharper. What do you do with a knife? You cut something. And when you cut something, you're cutting it to separate it. You're cutting it to cause a division. Precisely. Exactly. We don't cut things with spoons. Somebody give me that 2x4 over there. I need to cut this. No, we want something that's sharp. We want something that is meant to divide and divide precisely. And that's the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces. That means affecting deeply. Entering as a pointed instrument. There is a purpose to this Word of God. It's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. It affects things. It's sharper. It has a purpose. Its purpose is to pierce as a dividing instrument. Then it says, again, even piercing, even to the dividing asunder. Hold on a second. What's it dividing? If this is its perfect purpose, if it is quick, if it is powerful, if it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it has a purpose to pierce and to divide, what is it dividing? Notice it says. It says, even to the dividing asunder. That word asunder there means to separate on purpose. Here we go. The dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Now, 1 Thessalonians says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Now, we find two of those words here, soul and spirit. We find the same two words here in Hebrews chapter 4. I don't see the word body there, but I do see joints and marrow. Where do we find the joints and marrow? Where? In the body. So is the Word of God making a division here between that of the soul and that of the spirit and that of the body? I believe it is. It says, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Discerner of thoughts and intent. That's scary. Some of you are thinking right now, what did I think about earlier? Why did I think it? You ever thought that before? I certainly have. Driving down the road, a thought comes in your head. You start dwelling on it, you think, why did I even think that? How do I even battle this? So if it's a discerner, what does this discerning mean? It means to distinguish or to see the difference between two or more things. It discriminates. It means to understand the difference. It means to judge decisively. That's a discerner. My thought, that which makes the mind think. What does the mind think? It's what it's judging. It's discerning what I think. Not only does it think or does it discern the thoughts, but it discerns the intent. That having the mind or bent or strained on an object. That which is eager in pursuit of the object. A thinking idea, a consideration, or a purpose. Why did I think what I thought? Why? The Word of God divides these things. The Word of God divides these things. Now, I want to break this down for you here real quickly, because we need to know how we can have peace. How can we have this peace that the Word of God describes here for a moment? I do need some help, though. Who wants to help? Abby, you want to help? No. You want to help, Ethan? Caleb and Ethan, you can both help. Come help. Both of you, you're brothers. This will be a wonderful illustration. You're on your own. All right, you stand over here. You stand over here. Which one of you wants to be the body? You'll be the body. All right. So if you're going to be the body, I'm going to start over here, so switch places. Switch places. All right. You're the body. Ooh. Just like the body. You'll be the spirit. All right. You're going to be a spirit. You're going to be the soul. Okay. But I need a spirit. LaMichael, will you be the spirit? Come help. Come stand in the middle between these two. Come on. Hustle up. All right, stand right in the middle and face them. All right. So over here we have the body. Now we know that in our body we have five senses. Have you learned this in school yet? The five senses? They never taught it. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to teach you. Ah, they did teach it. Smell. Okay, so smell. See. Hear.
Taste.
What am I doing to you? Touching you. And touch. Five senses, right? Okay. So the body has five senses. How many?
Five.
Ah. Okay. The spirit over here, guess what? It has how many senses? How many? I don't know. No one's ever taught me this before, right? Okay. The spirit has five senses. What are they? He doesn't know. All right. You want your brother to help you? It's free. Okay. Help him out. What are the five senses? Say it with him. And they're the same. Now hold on a second. How do we know that the Spirit has five senses? How do we know that? Because I just told you. Don't take my word for it. Look at the word. I want you to turn. You're going to have to turn fast. You're going to have to listen fast. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see this. Now, I don't have to take you to show you that the body has five senses, correct? Everybody knows that. Everybody learned that in school. Amen? Please don't make me start over. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 1. We know that the spiritual side has sight. Look at this. Verse number 18, Ephesians chapter 1. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is, or in the saints. All right, what does that say? The eyes of your understanding. Now, are those physical eyes or spiritual eyes? Spiritual eyes. Sight. The Spirit has sight. Go back a couple of pages to Galatians. Go to your left. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter number 3. O foolish Galatians, verse 1. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye in the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. That's a spiritual hearing, folks. The hearing of faith. Go to James. Several pages over to your right. Go past Hebrews if you're still holding your spot there in Hebrews. Go to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. Hold on. Verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now hold on a second. Can we cleanse our hands physically and be right with God? No. It's not a physical touch we're talking about here. This is a spiritual hand that we're cleansing. There's feeling here. How about 1 Peter? A couple pages to your right now. Turn to the right. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice in verse number 1 and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many of you tasted that the Lord is gracious physically? No, no, no. See, this isn't a physical tasting. This is a spiritual tasting. Can you see now where we have in our spirit, we have five senses. There's a last one. Oh, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I told you we got to turn fast and go fast. Ephesians chapter 5. Passed it up. So we have the seeing and the hearing and the feeling and the tasting. What about the smelling? What about the savor here? Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number 2, he says, and walk in love, if Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. There is a spiritual scent. You see, we have five senses here. And so in this, we have over here in the body, we have five senses. Oh, I smell something good, and what happens? Smells good. It makes me react, doesn't it? Sometimes, depending on what it is, I say, oh man, that smells good. What if we smell something bad? Now, if you're like our family, you know, we drive down the road, and sometimes, occasionally, you smell something bad, and the first question is, who did it? Now, I think that's everybody. And I always get blamed, Randall. And it's like, no. No. It was not me. It's outside. It's outside. But we do that, and we're like, oh, oh. What about when we taste something good? Oh, I want more, right? Want more when I taste something good, or when I see something good, I want to keep looking. I see something bad, it makes me want to look away. Oh, no. Oh, I can't. I hear something. Oh, that's lovely. But what is all of these things that physically we're seeing and we're hearing and we're feeling and we're tasting, we're smelling, where does that go to? Where does it tell us the reactions here? When we see something spiritually, or we hear something spiritually, or we taste something spiritually, or we feel something spiritually, where does that go to? You see, God has divided the body and the spirit with the soul. Remember? You're the soul. Now, come a little closer. Come to your soul. Keep coming. Keep coming. Okay. When... It's okay. You're his soul. You're his soul. Come a little closer, spirit. It's okay. Hold on a second. When he put his arms down again. Such a bad soul. When we're born physically, this guy, go down to the ground, is dead. He's dead. We're spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins. But guess what? We still have a soul. We still have a body. When we see something, when we hear something, the reaction that we find comes in our soul, which is where we find our mind, our will, and our emotions. How many of you would say you're emotional? Good. You emotional, Brother Terry? Yeah. Our mind, our will, our emotions is in our soul. When we hear the gospel and we respond to the gospel, the Bible says that we are born again. Now remember what Jesus said. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is... Stand up, spirit. Oh. So now we find the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now get closer. When the body sees something, the soul is affected. When the spirit sees something, the soul is affected. Now God, through His Word, is telling us that He has made a division between the body and the soul and the spirit. There's been a division made. and our soul responds to one of them. We don't have time to look there this morning, but I encourage you to go to Romans chapter 7 as you read through the struggle that the Apostle Paul went through in his life and that each one of us goes through as well when he says, those things that I wish I would do, I don't. And those things that I want to do, I don't. Why? Because there's a constant struggle. There's a constant battle going on in this. And so as we look at this, as we look at the Word of God making this division between the body and the soul and the spirit, what are we to do here? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is that we must be born again. If we're going to have this reborn in our spirit, we must be saved. The second thing that I see here is that we must rebuild our thoughts. Oh, why? Because the spirit has thoughts and the body has thoughts. And they're normally contrary one to another, amen? Oh, are they ever? What makes the difference? The Word of God. How are we going to rebuild these thoughts? The Word of God. Because it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what it's there, it's there to make us alive. So how do we do this? Well, we meditate on it. Hey, do you know that you can memorize Scripture? What? No. Yes. You can. I promise you can. And it's amazing how you can. Thank you guys for your help. Body, soul, spirit. Give them a hand. You can memorize Scripture. You know how I know this? I was with somebody the other day, and we were out, and a song came on the radio. We were eating lunch. And it was a song from the 80s. How do you remember the 80s? I remember the 80s. A couple of years ago, my oldest daughter, she said, Dad, that was way back in the 1990s. My gosh, girl. Way back in the 1990s. This was way back in the 1980s. A song came on the radio. Randall, I hadn't heard it since the 1980s. Every word right here. Right there. And my flesh said, ooh, I like you that song. And then my mouth said, right now I can't even remember the song. It's probably good. No need to sing that here anyway. It was here. I didn't even try to remember it. It just came through the flesh. And then it affected my mind, my will, lost as my emotions began to groove. Hey, you do it too. If I told you who I was with, they sang it too. It wasn't Rachel. How does that work? Because our flesh affects our soul. It affects our mind, will, and emotions. Hey, can I just tell you, if we can memorize a song and remember it from 30 years ago, we can memorize a verse of Scripture. Amen. And I'm telling you, it'll affect you. It will. Now look, I know last week I said, you can pray anywhere. You have time to pray. And you do. As do I. You just have to make the time. You got to take the time. Hey, can I just tell you? Reading the Bible is not as easy as praying. I told you, you can pray in the shower. Don't read your Bible in the shower. It's not going to work. Hey, but you know what you can do? You can quote the Bible in the shower.
See, I can take the Word of God anywhere. Here.
Once it's here in my heart, oh,
no one can take it. No one.
When that Spirit begins to taste how the Lord is gracious, how do we even know that? Through the Word of God. It'll affect my mind, my will, and my emotions. But I have to give myself to this.
I have to rebuild my thoughts. I have to rebuild my thought life. It starts by being born again.
I have to refocus my emotions. I asked you a few moments ago, how many of you are emotional people? Several of you raised your hands. The rest of you lied. There's not one person in this room who is 100% constant all the time. You know what that means? Whether you want to admit it or not, you are emotional. Now, emotional doesn't mean you cry. Amen. You might cry, but hey, can I just throw this out there? Anger's an emotion. If you get angry, you're emotional. As a matter of fact, you're not even in control of your emotions. Amen. How do we curb that? How do we get through that? How do we go from the flesh affecting the soul to where the Spirit affects the soul? Well, it comes from the Word of God. It's the dividing asunder. It's the one that's going to separate the soul and the soul through the Spirit and the body. It's the deciding factor. We got to refocus our emotions. How do we do that? I'll just tell you right now. Have you ever noticed how many of the Psalms come from emotion? You ever noticed that before? I mean, look, I'm just going to tell you, you can't talk about your enemies without being emotional. And many of the Psalms do. Many of them. And have you ever noticed how they're written in first person? Isn't that awesome? That we can sit down and read something as if we were the one saying it. Do you find that to be a coincidence? Or maybe just God planned it that way? Maybe God had a hand in this thing after all. That the most emotional book in the Bible is written in the first person. So when we read it, it's like we're talking about us. Huh. Yeah, I'm pretty sure God had a hand in this thing. Why? Because it's quick. It's alive. It's powerful. I sit down, I start reading that stuff. Oh, man, it ministers. Oh. Mm-hmm. You know what else it does? Not only does it rebuild my thoughts, not only does it refocus my emotions, it redirects our goals. The Word of God does. That means we turn the Word of God into action. What are we doing? What are we doing in and through our lives? What's supposed to happen here? The Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hey, the Word of God causes us to reproduce our life in others. You see, it's a spiritual thing. Because this is a spiritual book, which requires a spiritual understanding. It begins when the Holy Spirit of God convicts your heart of your sin and your need of a Savior of Jesus Christ. Then He quickens you, makes you alive. And as we grow in the Spirit, as we're reborn in the Spirit, we must take it and rebuild our thoughts, refocus our emotions, redirect our goals in order to reproduce ourselves and our life and the lives of others. It's the Word of God that does this. We want peace. We want peace. Peace comes within our spirit. Our spirit affects our soul. Then, body, it's there. And it's still going to have those five senses. But those senses begin to affect that soul, which the Spirit comes in and when the Spirit is controlling. I'm just going to tell you, the Spirit's not going to have a very good chance of controlling unless you know the Word of God. Plain and simple. We must know it. And I'm just going to tell you this too. One morning a week is not enough. One morning a month certainly is not enough. The Bible compares itself to spiritual food. How long can you go without food? You say, well, I only eat once a day. That's fine. It's not recommended. And you can function on that, but imagine if you could function better if you ate three times a day. Imagine how much better we could function if we ate properly and healthily. We sure do eat a lot of junk food. I mean, if you can equate the physical junk food to spiritual junk food, because there's plenty of it. Well, there's a lot of spiritual junk food out there. It tastes great. Oh, but it's bad for you. Oh, but it tastes so good. It makes me feel good, Pastor. Yeah. But the long-term effects, it's not good. And that's why we don't have peace in our life. Because we're not eating on this. We're not eating on this. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we have it preserved for us right here. Oh yeah. This is good. It tastes great. It looks fantastic. Oh, I can touch it. I can do it. I can feel it. I can hear it. I can take it in. And when I do all of that, it affects what comes out. Oh yeah. See, the Word of God, don't neglect it. Don't get too busy to neglect this. You say, oh, does that mean I got to sit down and read it for an hour? Shouldn't go a day without it. Can I say it this way? Sometimes the quality is more important than the quantity. The quality. I mean, yeah, you can sit down and read 10 chapters, and that's good. But if you don't retain any of it and take any of it in, hey, take something from it. Meditate on it. He says, meditate upon the Word. Keep us. May it affect us, because it will. Because it's quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper. Let it divide. Let it do its job. Let it point out when we're fleshly. Let it point out when we're spiritually. Let's do that. Don't neglect the Word of God in this busy time. You won't regret it. Not one time. Let's bow together in prayer. You want peace? Comes through the Word. Decisions are made. See, the soul is affected. The mind, the will, the emotions. It's affected by the physical world, by the spiritual world. Each having those five senses. Oh yeah, we do struggle. Those things that I want to do, man, I just struggle doing them.